mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word follow there in the Hebrew is it's not a passive word of just kind of trailing behind. It's more of a dog's pursuing their quarry. And that goodness and mercy shall follow me is basically that His goodness and mercy will chase us. No matter how much we try to run from Him, His goodness and mercy shall follow us. And I wish I could achieve a point where I felt like I didn't need His mercy anymore. Like I finally got it. I finally got it perfected, Brother Warren. I finally got it locked down. I'm still finding that I'm in need of His mercy. Still in need of His mercy. Hallelujah. His goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord. I mentioned the help of my family and didn't mention back to my seat and looked over, and there he stands. I'm like, I didn't mention Al. Thankful for my son-in-law. Call him my son-in-law. He's my son. So he's got two dads now. He's got his Spain dad and his Ohio dad. So we have a great couple with us today that I've been privileged to be friends with throughout the years. Try to make sure that when they're coming back on deputation that I get to have them. And so we were able to have them, and Brother Linder worked it out to where we could have them in both services today. And so I'm grateful to have them. These are not only great men and women of God, but we've been uniquely connected to their family throughout the years. I've now gotten connected to his brother that lives in the Nashville area. With them when we married their son to my daughter's friend, and so we were with them up at the Thompson's Church up in Northern Ohio. So just there's been little times we've been able to touch base throughout the years, and so they're with us today, and we're privileged to have them. You can be seated. They're going to show a video, and then Brother and Sister Walmer are going to minister to us today.
I am Michael Walmer, and together with my wife, Yvonne, we have done missionary work in Brazil for the past 41 years. I was taken to Brazil as an MK and have celebrated 50 years of life in Brazil. My wife is from the country of Uruguay, and together we are reaching a nation of over 220 million people, larger than the continental United States. The opportunities to transform lives and shape leaders are boundless. This is where we come in. Through life-changing leadership seminars, we are equipping pastors, ministry leaders, with the skills to navigate the challenges of shepherding their communities with wisdom and grace. Traveling from São Paulo, of 22 million people, to the northern regions of the Amazon jungle for a GATS faculty development seminar was an unforgettable adventure that took me across Brazil's vast and diverse landscapes using nearly every mode of transportation. I started with an Uber ride, then a long bus ride through bustling cities and quieter towns. A plane ride whisked me over the lush forests and winding rivers. On land again, I navigated by car through a remote and rugged roads. Finally, the journey ended with an 8-hour boat ride along the mighty Amazon River. It was a humbling experience to step onto shore and to see the crowd of people that had come from many villages and places to participate in the GAT seminar. Each leg of the trip was a unique experience of reaching such an extraordinary community. With specialized Bible school faculty training through GATS, we empower educators to nurture and inspire the next generation of faith-driven disciples. Together, we are building the foundation of a future firmly rooted in Jesus Christ.
I would like to thank UPCI Ladies Ministries for their dedication and efforts through Mother's Memorial. You have helped countless missionary families around the world with appliances and also supporting Bible school students. that has been such a blessing in helping them to reach their potential and to reach this world for the Lord. We're also thankful to Youth Ministries and the Move the Mission offering that has provided vehicles to the missionaries overseas. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for giving to further the kingdom of God around the world.
The power of faith shone brightly during our life-changing crusades in Manaus, Brazil. In 2022, over 5,000 gathered to witness more than 1,000 miracles as 3,000 souls were filled with the Holy Ghost. The impact only grew stronger in 2023 at the Amazon Arena Stadium, where an awe-inspiring crowd of 30,000 came together, over 6,000 experiencing miracles and wonders, and an astounding 12,000 people were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and hundreds were baptized. These unforgettable events were a testament to unity, hope, and the undeniable presence of the Holy Spirit. Sister Maria Olinda from Boraba, Amazonas, exemplifies faith and determination. As a pastor, teacher, and Bible school director, she began her ministry in a part of town with no church. She sold her only goods, a palm of bananas and a half dozen eggs, to fund the beginning of her mission. Her efforts grew into a thriving church, earning her respect as a leader. Her story highlights how faith and perseverance can achieve remarkable results. We are transforming Brazil, one leader, one teacher, one soul at a time. This is your invitation to be a part of a mission that impacts eternity. Together, let's bring hope, training, and the love of Jesus Christ to Brazil. The harvest is white and ready. Are you ready? Join together with us by making a difference and supporting our missionary work through Partners in Missions, a monthly financial commitment. Your special contributions can also help us complete much-needed projects that bring hope, faith, and resources to communities in need. Whether it's building a community church, funding educational programs, or providing essential supplies, your generosity can have a lasting effect. Together, we can transform lives and spread love and compassion. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
And can you say praise the Lord? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. It is about obeying. It is about going. It is about sending. Amen. Missionary families like ourselves are willing to go. Feel a call of God upon our lives. Amen. To go to a faraway land, to a strange people, to a different culture. And it is there that we begin to tell the wonderful story of the gospel. A story that can heal, that can save, and that can deliver. Amen. And we arrived in the country of Brazil, I arrived in the country of Brazil as a boy of 11 years of age with my parents, who had felt a call of God upon their lives many years prior. In fact, my mother was won to the Lord by her high school friend and was the very first convert in the church in Albany, Oregon, back in the day, under the leadership and pastoral leadership of Brother Orion Gleason. And she was the very first convert of that church. And as a turnkey child, she would come home from school, and she would kneel at her bedside under a map of South America. And it was there that she said she felt very strongly that someday she would be a missionary. And it was there that she would pray the prayer, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. Amen. And in November 7th of 1974, that calling was fulfilled in my mom and dad's life as they had obeyed the call of God to go to the land of Brazil. And we arrived there on that particular day amen, to begin many years of missionary service. My mother and father gave 42 years, and this year my wife and I are celebrating 41 years of missionary service in the country of Brazil. Amen. And we thank the Lord that it happens not only because of people like us that are willing to go, but it happens because of churches like yourselves that are willing to send, that are willing to give, amen, so that people like us can go and preach this wonderful gospel. Praise the Lord. And that happens through Partners in Missions. Partners in Missions is what allows us as missionaries to return to the country of our calling and there minister among those people where God has called us. Amen. So today we are asking that you would join together with us as a partner in mission and that you would help us go into the country of Brazil and there fulfill the calling that God has laid upon our lives. And together we are fulfilling the commission of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Amen. In fact, the United Pentecostal Church has its slogan, the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. Amen. And I am thankful today. I am thankful today for that mission that we have to take the whole gospel to the whole world, because every soul deserves to hear the gospel at least once. Amen. Praise the Lord. That they too might have the opportunity to have eternal life. Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Amen. And that is the message that we take to those in the country of Brazil. We are excited for what the Lord is doing there. Amen. Over many years and through the ministries of many different missionaries, the work of the Lord has grown exponentially in the country of Brazil. In fact, we have thousands of churches, thousands of constituents there. Amen. But I think one of the important things to bring to your attention is that in the country of Brazil, we have more than 100 Bible schools. Amen. Yes, because we are very focused on developing the future generation of pastors and leaders of that nation. Amen. So that they, in turn, may also feel the call of God upon their lives. Amen. And in obedience, they may go, and that they may reach their own people with this precious truth. You know, the gospel is a beautiful story. Amen. Amen. It is a beautiful story. And it is the story, the tapestry of many that have given their lives, that have heard the call of God, and that have obeyed, and that have gone to do what God has called them to do. Amen. And so my wife and I, over many, many years as pioneer missionaries, we started many, many churches throughout southern Brazil and northeastern Brazil. Brazil is a very large country, larger than the continental United States. And nevertheless, God has placed us in different places there in that land so that we may pioneer or open new works and churches for the Lord. But in recent years, God has transitioned us into a mentorship work where we are traveling among our districts. We have 27 districts in the country of Brazil. Each district has a central Bible school. These central Bible schools in the districts will have several satellite training centers throughout the districts. And so we go to a particular district and invite them to come in, the teachers that is, and we spend a weekend, a 15-hour intensive training of teaching, training, preparing, developing our Bible school teachers so that they in turn may step into their classrooms and impact the future generation of leaders and pastors of the church in the country of Brazil. Amen. And so we are thankful for what God has called us to do and has transitioned us into. Amen. To further yet the work of God, because that is what it's all about. It is about expanding the work of the Lord. Amen. It is about expanding, amen, the kingdom of God around the world. And so we have come today to ask that you would consider helping us with one of these intensive training seminars that we hold in the country of Brazil. In fact, in any given year, we will teach 12 to 15 training seminars. And that translates into about 48 or 50 seminars in the four-year term that we have. And we're asking you today, the church, Triumphant, that you would consider sponsoring one of these seminars. They come in just under $1,500. And we're asking you today, amen, that you would consider this. We have today a form that we would like to leave with you. On this form, you can date this form. And you can you don't have to give that to me today. I mean, that is the money. But you can hand me this form with a date on it. And you can say, Brother Warner, by such and such a date, I hope to send in these funds, amen, to sponsor that program. And today we are very thankful for your giving, for your sacrifice, because of churches like yourself, amen, that make what we do happen. As you give, we are able to go and fulfill the commission that God has given to us, amen, among those people. Praise God. Back in the foyer today, we have a display where we would like to meet each and every one of you. There on the table, we have a prayer card that we would like to place in the hands of each and every one of you. These prayer cards serve as a prayer reminder to pray on behalf of the Walmer family in the country of Brazil. We travel the many dangerous roads of that country, fly into dangerous areas, and we covet your prayers on our behalf. Amen. I pray that you would take this to heart and that you would come by and not leave here today without taking a prayer card with you. Put this in your Bible. Put this on your refrigerator or tape it to your computer screen. Amen. And let it serve as a prayer reminder to pray on behalf of the Walmer family. Also, we have there some trifold brochures. And these brochures explain more in depth of what our ministry is all about. Amen. We are thankful, amen, that you would come by and pick up one of these and consider sponsoring the Walmer family, amen, in the country of Brazil. Back on the back of this folder, we have several project needs that we are endeavoring to raise funds for. And at any given time, you may feel led of the Lord to give towards one of these projects. And we are thankful for your giving today. Amen. May God bless you. Y quiero saludar a mis hermanos de Venezuela y de México. Gloria a Dios. Que Dios les bendiga muy ricamente. Amén. Es un gusto tremendo. Amén. Nuestro hermano de Colombia, o sea, de España. Gloria a Dios. Amén. Que Dios les bendiga muy ricamente en el nombre de Jesús. Gloria a Dios. Un gusto tremendo conocerles. Gloria a Dios. Amen. May the Lord bless you today. We have there in the foyer, or there on the table, we have some Brazilian coffee that we would like to offer to you. The proceeds from the table help us as we travel across America, visiting the many different churches, endeavoring to raise the funds that we need to return to the country of Brazil. So would you, before you leave, come by the table. We have several things there for the ladies and for the children. We have there what we call revival pocket rocks. These are actually semi-precious stones that have been mined in the country of Brazil, beautifully polished of all kinds of different shapes and colors. And we call these revival pocket rocks because we're asking you to come by the display and get one of these rocks and commit with us today to carry it in your pocket, wherever you go. Amen. And that each time you put your hand in your pocket and you feel that rock there, that you would just stop right there dead in your tracks and you would say a prayer for the Walmer family. Amen. So what's going to happen? You're going to be down, say, at Dollar General. Anybody here go to Dollar General? Okay. Yeah. Amen. It's like a plague. They're everywhere. Amen. And so you step into Dollar General and tip up the cashier, and she says, well, that'll be $25.95. You reach in that pocket, pull up that change or that wallet or such, and lo and behold, there's that pocket rock there. Well, we're a committed bunch. Amen. Amen. So we just stop right there and say a prayer for the Lord. Bless the Walmers. Give them revival in Brazil, Lord Jesus. Put your anointing upon them. Open doors of opportunity in Jesus' name. When you open your eyes, cashier's looking at you. What are you doing? You see, I'm praying for my mission down in South America. You see, I go to the Church Triumphant, amen, over here on Vera Place, and I want to invite you to come to our church, amen. God's doing some awesome things, and he has a plan for your life. Amen. In fact, I have a home Bible study that I want to offer you, amen, and tell you about what God's plan is for your life. Amen. Amen. You know what, church? We need to make it happen. Amen. We need to make it happen. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Yes, we need to make it happen. We need to make opportunities, amen, to share the gospel with other people. Amen. And let this revival pocket rock be a means, amen, of revival in your own life, amen, as you endeavor to share what Jesus has done for you, amen, in your own community. May you say, can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Amen. We have there some Brazilian coffee. We have some other artifacts there for the women and for the children. And we ask you to come by the display today and help us. May God bless you as my wife comes to share her testimony today. Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm thankful to be here today with you and feel the presence of God in this place. And as he was talking about how we need to make it happen, just something came through my mind. Have you ever done DoorDash? So I think that David was one of the first ones to do DoorDash. He was taking the lunch to his brothers that were camped, ready to battle, or thinking about it, not really wanting to do it. But David was doing that, delivering that meal to his brothers, and saw an opportunity there. And he was used of God. And sometimes, you know, we think, oh, we need to be able to know how to preach or know how to sing or this and that. But God wants to use us wherever we are, wherever he has placed. So another story, Jesus on his lunch break, when he was in Samaria, he witnessed to a broken soul, to a broken woman on his lunch break. So sometimes God opens opportunities, and sometimes we're afraid to take it, but I want to encourage you today, be a light, be a witness, because God has filled you with the Holy Ghost,
right,
so you can be a witness. Right. Has he done great things for you?
Yes.
Has he? Has he been faithful? We sang today about his goodness, about his faithfulness.
Right.
Has he walked with you in the darkness, in the difficult times? Isn't that wonderful and comforting to know that Jesus is with us no matter the situation that we face?
Yeah.
Praise God. He is with you. He will be with you to the end of the times. I'm thankful I know him. Aren't you? I'm here because of missions. I'm a result of missions. I'm from the country of Uruguay. Soy de Uruguay. Y tengo un hermano aquí de Venezuela que conoce mi país. There's a brother here from Venezuela that knows he's lived in my country. And that's very unusual because Uruguay is a very, very small country. And I got excited about that. Praise God. But I'm here because many years ago, missionaries went to my country. And they brought this wonderful truth, this wonderful gospel. And I like to tell my story wherever I go, because sometimes, you know, we hear about the stories and we hear about the hundreds and we see the wonderful things that God is doing in Brazil, and praise the Lord, wonderful. But sometimes when you meet a person, you know, that makes it more personal. And my story is that the missionary started a little church in a neighborhood where my uncle used to live. And we had gone, my mom and I had gone to visit him on a Sunday, and he started telling my mom that he started going to a Pentecostal church. We had never heard of Pentecost. We had never heard of Jesus. And as he started to witness to her, he invited us to go to church. And we did. On that Sunday, we went with him to church. And that was a United Pentecostal church that the missionary had started. And we went in there. We had never felt the presence of God. And on that night, my mom was very touched, was crying, feeling the presence of God in her life for the very first time. And we are blessed. Aren't we blessed?
Yes.
Praise God. To feel the presence of God. There are millions out there that don't know what that is. and we were some of them. We kept on going to the little church. We lived far away and had to take 2 buses to get there. Didn't have a car. Took us almost 2 hours to get to church. But we knew we were in the right place. We knew that what we were feeling was real. And my mom received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I did too when I was 7 years old. And when I received the Holy Ghost, I remember praying. I received the Holy Ghost and was so excited. And I ran to my mom and I told her, "Mom, I'm feeling that one day I'm going to be a missionary." Isn't that something? God can call even the little children. Put a call in their lives. Praise God. And I'm thankful that today I'm fulfilling that call that he placed in my life. And we kept on going to church. My dad didn't go at the beginning. He was just watching my mom and seeing, what was going on. But he saw after a while that what she had was real. And he saw what God did for her. And they were having revival. We invited him. He agreed to go for the first time. And we went. It was just me and him. My mom, she had to work. So we took a bus, went there to the church, and got into service. And that was the first time that he ever went to a Pentecostal church. And I like to tell the story because I was going up front, and he said, no, let's sit here at the end by the exit. And he wasn't sure what was going to happen. But God had a plan. And I remember also the service started, and I looked to my dad, and he was so touched by the presence of God. He was crying, and I heard him. He was repenting. He was saying, "Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me." And I saw him raise his hands, and he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. He told me later that he didn't, because he didn't know about raising hands. He didn't know about anything. He said that he just felt like so unworthy, and he started repenting, and he felt his hands going up, but he didn't want to raise them because he didn't know about that. But then finally, when he said, "Okay, Lord, here I am," he surrendered. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll never forget that. Praise God. This is my story, and I like to tell it because this is a direct result of missions. Someone went, a missionary went, and started a church, brought this truth, and churches and people like you have sent your missionaries around the world. I remember, actually, in the 70s, and I think I told Sister Pelham this before, and Sister Cisco is here, but your husband went to Uruguay, and I was there when we had a big conference. And I remember, him and other ministers that were there. I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And I remember that they lined up up front and people would come and they would pray. And that was one of the biggest conferences that we had in our country. Yeah. Many people received the Holy Ghost. People still talk about it till today. So thank you for sending your husband, your dad. Yeah. Praise God. All of us, we are working for one kingdom. It's his kingdom, no matter where he has placed us. And we're very thankful for everything that you do for missions. Thank you for giving. I know that you sacrifice, but you are investing in souls. You are investing in people just like me and my family. And I'm thankful that today I can go myself. And many people, my dad pastored a couple churches in the country of Uruguay. Many of them are pastors now, people that he won to the Lord. And that's the result of the gospel. And we're so thankful and privileged and honored to serve the Lord in the country of Brazil. May God bless you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for caring. And thank you for loving. May God bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet today. Amen. Let's take our Bibles in hand. Praise God. And let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, God. Praise God. Amen. Book of Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to start at verse 27. This is the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and how a stranger then joined them and gave them a Bible lesson. Praise God. And I want to talk about that today. I want to give honor to Sister Cisco. I mean, it's a pleasure to meet you again, to see you again, sister. Amen. May God bless you. Amen. Remember your husband very well and his ministry and his impact on global missions. Amen. May God bless you richly. Praise God. Amen. Book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 27. And it says these words, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him." Say, they knew him. Amen. They knew him. "And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures." Amen. Today I want to preach. I want to preach to you on the subject, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Amen. Praise God. And I hope to speak to your heart today. I pray that you will open your heart to the word of God today. Amen. Let the Lord minister to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Jesus, for this word that we have in our hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for this story. And I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you would outpour your spirit powerfully in this place. Oh God, anoint us, Lord, for such a time as this. That they would hear your voice, that they would hear not hear my voice, but they would hear your voice, dear Lord. And oh God, that we would respond today. Oh Lord Jesus, with this message that we bring forth in the name of Jesus, and all the church say amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated today in the name of the Lord. Praise God. I felt a tremendous anointing this morning in Circleville, and I pray that same anointing is here today. Not only for me to speak into your heart, but also for you to hear and to understand and to receive into your heart the word that God has for us today. Because I believe with all my heart that what I bring to you is from the Lord. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart. And what an extraordinary moment this is as we open the pages of Scripture and as we dive into this passage of Scripture to understand its meaning and to be comforted and challenged and illuminated in our hearts today. Praise God. I am sure that there are those of you here today that have felt lost and discouraged and have walked a path that seems to lead nowhere but deeper into disappointment. And yes, these two men, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus knew that feeling intimately. Because just days before, their world was a world vibrating with hope, a promise of redemption for Israel. In fact, in different places of Scripture, of the Gospels, we find where they are making reference to that expectation, to that hope that they had, that Israel would be restored, that the invaders of Israel, which was the Roman Empire, would be dispersed, and that they would once again become a sovereign nation. and they would be a sovereign people. And they desired that to happen. And they had considered, Judas Iscariot was a one pronounced as a zealot, one that was willing to fight and to battle, amen, for this redemption to happen. And he joined Jesus's group of disciples in hoping that this was the moment that they would conquer. And Jesus was the conqueror, and Jesus was the one that would be the King of Kings, amen, of their nation. But now that dream was dashed. Now that hope was dead and sealed in a tomb. They were walking away from Jerusalem. They were on their ways to Emmaus, maybe back to their day-to-day business, maybe back to their families, to their jobs. Amen. I don't know exactly what, but they were leaving Jerusalem, and they were walking away from the cross, away from the dream, their eyes clouded by grief, their conversations heavy with confusion. But suddenly, amen, what happens next is a masterclass in divine intervention as an unassuming stranger joins their journey. And instead of giving them easy answers, amen, he gives them something indefinitely more profound, a lesson in the Word of God. Verse 27 speaks of that lesson, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, and expounding unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Yes, amen. He gave them an understanding that they hadn't had before. They gave them a lesson that they hadn't had before. Amen. Tonight, this afternoon, we aren't just reading ancient history. We are standing with those disciples, witnessing the moment, amen, that their despair turns to wonder. We are going to explore how Jesus Christ, the living Word, walk with them step by step through the entire story of God, proving that their shattered expectations were in fact the very blueprint of God's glorious plan. Yes, not even the prophets of old saw or understood the period of the church. Prophets of old, like Daniel, stood like on mountaintops overlooking the period of the church and prophesying of the end time and prophesying of the days of the coming of the Lord, of the end times. But they did not testify of the days of the church. So the disciples didn't have a grasp of this period of the church age. Amen. They were expecting God, amen, Jesus Christ, to sit upon the throne of Israel, and then it would become a nation that they had prophesied about. But it wasn't yet time. Amen. And Jesus says to them, amen, but ye shall receive power. They ask him in verse 6, they say, Lord, is this the time? Amen. And Jesus answers in verse 7, says that it doesn't matter. Amen. The times that are reserved exclusively for the Father. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and in the ends of the earth. Sometimes when we read that passage of Scripture, to the ends of the earth, we are thinking of places like China, like India, like Vietnam or Cambodia, maybe the Pacific Islands. But in fact, that place, the ends of the earth, amen, is right across the street. That the ends of the earth are actually that workplace
where God has placed you. Amen. Because that place, wherever it is, the store, the factory, the wherever it would be, that place is your mission field. This is our mission, to be witnesses of what God has done in us, and to carry the all-saving message of Jesus Christ to those around us. Yes, it is to people that live on our streets, that live in our neighborhoods. Amen. Yes, in a few moments, I will pack up our display and we'll put it back in our van. This coming week, we go to Eastern Ohio. The following week, we go to Tennessee, and the following that, after that, to Georgia, and on to Florida. Amen. In January, we return to the country of Brazil. But you will return, you will remain here. Amen. In this land, in this mission field, where God will work through you. Not only is He working in you, and sometimes we have the thought that God must first complete the work that He's doing in me before He can begin working through me in the lives of others. But that is nothing but a trick of the devil. Amen. And I encourage you today, amen, to open your heart and open your life to the Lord and say, Lord God, amen, I want to be an instrument. I want to be, Lord Jesus, a tool in your hands. Praise the Lord, that somebody may know you, that somebody may come, amen, to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Like my father-in-law did many years ago, like my mother-in-law did many years ago, because somebody obeyed the call of God, amen, and did what God had called them to do. In our story, in our promo video today, you saw the story of Sister Maria Olinda, a dear sister of the Lord, your sister in the Lord, married to a preacher of the gospel, a pastor of a church. Sister Maria Olinda is a Bible school teacher in the city of Barba, Amazonas. She, in fact, is the director of that Bible school and is doing a phenomenal job, amen, coordinating her staff of teachers and endeavoring to train and equip the future generation of pastors in that part of the country. Amen. Yes, it is a jungle, but there are many within, under the canopy of that jungle, are many, many villages of people that also need to experience the calling, need to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Her story is one of humble beginnings and of extraordinary vision. Borba is just a small town of 40,000 people situated on the banks of the Madeira River deep in the Amazon jungle. Yes, it is there that her and her husband labor for the Lord. Amen, multiplying themselves many times over. In fact, at the time of this story that I'm to tell you, amen, there in that city of Borba, there were already 5 Pentecostal churches, men that had come out of their church, that had gone to another neighborhood of Borba, and it was there that they had opened a church in their own communities, endeavoring to reach them with this precious truth, amen. But God began to deal with Sister Maria Olinda in a part of town where there was no church. And Sister Maria Olinda saw a spiritual void and felt a calling to plant a church. Now, if you know anything about their culture, you will know that she would readily transfer that or refer that to her husband. Amen. She would probably say, Lord, that's not with me. You're going to need to talk to my husband about that. But Sister Maria Olinda was very surrendered to God, very surrendered to the Lord, is very surrendered to the Lord. And she readily said, God, amen, show me the path. Show me the way, amen, to go. Show me the way how to do this. She began to open her home, invited people to come. She would have a prayer meeting. She would share a verse of scripture at the end of the prayer meeting. She would encourage people. She would pray for neighbors. She would pray in their homes. She would pray for their children. She would pray for their situations. And God began to do miracles. God began to do extraordinary things. Amen. Her group began to grow. Pretty soon they wouldn't fit anymore in her living room. So they knew that they needed to buy a piece of property. Amen. She took what she had. It wasn't much at all. She took a half, she took a palm of bananas, amen, and a half a dozen eggs. And she went down to the local market. Amen, Brother L knows what I'm talking about. She went down to the local market with a 2 5-gallon buckets and a board. And she set up her little stand and she began to sell her palm of bananas and half dozen eggs. She would call to those going by. She would call to them to buy her humble goods. She bought and sold. And after a while, the little community also began to help her. And pretty soon they bought a piece of property. Pretty soon the little church was being built. The foundation was laid. The walls began to be built up. The roof was put on. Amen. And you saw the finished product, that cute little whitewashed church in the promo video. Amen. It's where Sister Maria Olinda now pastors. Amen. At that moment, she knew what the will of God was for her life. Yes, church, we must find the will of God for our lives. Amen. Because he has given to each and every one of us, amen, particular gifts, particular talents. That's a Bible term. Particular talents, amen, that he has given to us, that we may employ them. Amen. To expand the kingdom of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Let us be busy about the Lord's business. Jesus said to his mother Mary, amen, after she had been seeking, searching for Jesus, the lost Jesus, the lost boy of 12 years of age that was lost and was found in the temple discussing the laws and the prophets with the religious leaders of their day. Amen. And she inquired, Jesus, why did you do this to us? And Jesus looked to his mother and said, would you not know that I would be busy about my Father's business? How important it is for us to identify the need. How important it is for us to identify the need that is around us. That we not be blind to the need that is around us. And not only would we identify the need, but that we would respond to the need. Well, the woman, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is we have responded to the presence of God that we have felt in this place. I don't know about you, but there was one day when I was only 7 years old that in my bedroom on the second floor of the parsonage in a little city, in a little wide spot in the road in Washington State, a place called McCleary, Washington. It was there that God visited my bedroom and filled me with the Holy Ghost at the age of 7. I was laying in my bed, the window was open. A breeze, a warm breeze of July breeze was blowing through the window. And I've often wondered, could it have been the very breath of God breathing on me that day? It was from the age of 7 that I felt the Lord calling me to the ministry. Yes. Yes, amen. He had a plan. He had a purpose for me. And he has a purpose for you. How important it is for us to find and discern the plan of God for our lives today. Amen. discerning the plan of God, discerning the will of God. As our eyes are opened, we notice opportunities we may have previously overlooked, gaining greater clarity in our decisions, amen. And we can rest assured, amen, that God desires to reveal his will to us, leading us, amen, on paths that glorify him and that bring fulfillment, amen, to our lives. Yes, I say that bring fulfillment to our lives, amen. Maybe we don't feel fulfilled in our lives, amen, and we have pursued that fulfillment in other things of life, amen, but I challenge you today that you would pursue a fulfillment in obeying, amen, what God would desire you to do, amen, as you would come and say, Lord, here am I, send me, as my mother, amen, kneeled under a map of South America and said, Lord, I will go where you want me to go, I will say what you want me to say, I will do what you want me to do, that we would say that prayer today, amen, standing in this altar and say, Lord, use my hand, use my feet, amen, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, hallelujah, yes, we need, amen, to discern the will of God, and from discerning God's will, we need to progress to spiritual awakening. Spiritual awakening is a profound and transformative experience that reshapes our lives. Praise God. As our spiritual eyes are opened, we can come to fully appreciate the depth and the significance of our relationship with God. What am I talking about? I'm talking tonight about that secret place revealed to us in Psalms 25, verse 14, where he reveals to us his covenants. I'm referring to today to that shadow of his wings, where we walk in the shadow of his wings because we have decided, we have made a choice. Yes, the power of choice that we have. We've made a choice to walk in the shadow of the Almighty. This awakening inspires us, amen, to seek a deeper communion with him, drawing closer through prayer and study of the scripture. And in doing so, we become increasingly aware of his presence, realizing how his love, how his grace, how his mercy continually works behind the scenes to shape us into the individuals that he desires and has called us to be. Yes, he has called me. He has called you. He's placed you in this church. Amen. He's placed you in this assembly that you would be a voice, a light in a world of darkness. Amen. Faith is a lifelong journey of growth. And each step forward empowers us to embrace our divine purpose with greater clarity and conviction. And so I say today again, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Yes, 2 Corinthians speaks of the God of this age having blinded the minds of unbelievers. Amen. Yes, spiritual blindness is a reality. Amen. The gospel reveals Christ's glory, showing him as the perfect image of God. Those who believe in him, those who believe in Jesus Christ, experience transformation. Amen. But unbelievers remain in darkness. Amen. Yes. Amen. Believers, amen, are transformed. But unbelievers remain in darkness. I want to ask you today, amen, are you in transformation or are you in stagnation? Amen. I hope today, if you're in stagnation, that you would step up to be transformed by the power of God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of the Almighty God. By the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That you would put the Spirit of God in motion in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Despite the opposition, the gospel carries, amen, divine light that can break through the deception and bring salvation one, amen, to a lost and dying world. The Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yes, in our text, in Luke 24, it says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. Their eyes were opened when he revealed himself, showing that understanding often comes through divine revelation. The act of breaking bread recalls the Last Supper, reinforcing the idea that Christ is revealed in fellowship and in worship. So from spiritual awakening, we advance and into receiving insight. Yes, understanding is essential for a meaningful Christian life. When God opens our eyes, when he opens our eyes, amen, we gain the ability to see from his perspective. And he sees with perfection. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, in the book of Chronicles, that is, chapter 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart are blameless toward him. Yes, this passage emphasizes God's constant awareness and his desire to strengthen those who are fully devoted to him. He sees all things. Zechariah and Revelation speak of the seven eyes of the Lord, symbolizing God's omniscience, his perfect and complete knowledge of all things. Yes, Proverbs 14 speaks of the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Hebrews 4 and 13 speaks of nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Yes, amen, he sees with perfection. Amen. And as I bring this message to a close, I take you to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 35, where Jesus, speaking to his disciples, speaking to those chosen ones, he says to them, do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look! 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 I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white already for harvest. Jesus was seeing something different than they saw. Because you see, just verses prior, these same disciples are trying to convince Jesus that he doesn't need to go through Samaria. He got up that morning saying, I must go through Samaria. And they tried to convince him that he didn't need to go through Samaria, that there was a bypass, that they could take another road, that they could avoid passing through Samaria. But Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. Because Jesus, in a dream or in a vision of something, he saw a broken life, a broken woman coming to Jacob's well, a man whose soul was crying out, for help, for instruction. And he said, I must go through Samaria. As he arrives there, he sends his 12 disciples. Notice, he didn't send one or two, but he sent 12 disciples back into the city of Sychar to buy lunch so that he would have the opportunity to break all protocol, to
break all tradition and speak to a woman at the well. And as he's finishing ministering to her, the 12 disciples come back from their errand. And the Bible says that they didn't say anything. But they looked at Jesus, questioning why he was talking with this woman. What was he doing talking with her? Not only is she a woman, but she is a Samaritan. Why would you even speak with her? But you see, his vision was so far greater than their understanding. So I ask you today, what is it that Jesus sees in your community that you don't see today? What is it that that burdens the Lord? What family? What people? What neighbor? What colleague? What friend? What family? What relative whose soul is crying out? Well, the question is today, do we hear the cry of the lost? Do we hear the cry of those that are around us? Amen. So Jesus says to them, do you not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? He said, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white. Of course, he's speaking of a spiritual harvest. Amen, that there's no time to delay. There's no time to wait. There's no time to consider traditions and customs. It's time to reach out. It's time to touch somebody's life. Amen, I don't know, amen, where you live. I don't know who your neighbor is, but I pray today that you can envision yourself ministering to somebody, teaching a Bible study, saying a prayer. Oh, I know it's complex. I know it's difficult. I know it's a dark world and a complex world. Amen. But we can put them in touch with Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. If you would stand to your feet this morning, this afternoon. You would stand to your feet. Amen. I want to invite you to finish this service at the altar. That we would finish our service here at this altar today. The Bible says in the book of Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me. That you would say in your heart, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me. Anointed to do what? To preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, Yahasayika Yarama, Yaboshakayahi, Hosea Baraka. Yes, yes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing is upon me. I will say yes. I will bring to you my talents, Lord. I will bring to you what I have. Oh, it may be like Sister Olinda. It may be something simple. It may be something simple. But if you will bring your humble gift, he will take your humble giftings and he will transform them into something.